This is the word of God from Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Another psalm, 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Refuge, that word refuge, God is my refuge. Refuge means to flee back. In our scripture, flee back to God. We should flee back to God when trouble comes. He's our refuge and our strength. Hopefully, if we're close to God and have a good ongoing relationship with him, then we don't have far to go to flee back. But in a way, since we're all sinners, we're never as close to God as we should be. Sometimes we're far away. Sometimes we've drifted far from him. So there's always room for us to flee back to God. And our God is a place of strength and safety that we can flee back to when we're in trouble, a very present help in times of trouble. You know, many of us are worriers. We get anxious, we get depressed. And when we're worried and anxious, we know where to find peace and comfort in our Lord. Now, we all have troubles in this life. We do. It's not a surprise, really. Jesus told us we would have them, didn't he? John chapter 16, verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Not you might have. Not, you know, every once in a while. You know, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. That's our hope. And that's how we know God cares about us. Because he sent the most precious thing here to earth to live as a man, to put off that robe of glory, to live as a man, and to die for us. That's how we know he cares. We're going to have trouble, but Jesus says to be of good cheer. He's overcome the world for us. We don't have to overcome the world. We can't overcome the world, but he can. He knows we're going to get scared. He knows that we'll worry, even though we're not supposed to. And he knows that we'll get depressed sometimes. I have to confess, I'm a worrier, too. Come from a long line of worriers. World-class worriers. It's a family trait. I think it's in our DNA. They're going to discover that gene one of these days, the worry gene. But the Bible says not to do it. It never actually uses the word worry in Scripture, but the lesson's there. You know, and one of our greatest worries, I think, is that we'll be left all alone to bear our troubles by ourselves. Loneliness. But thank the Lord, we're never alone. We do not have to handle things by ourselves. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's why you shouldn't be afraid, because God's with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, I am with thee. God says that he is our strength in times of trouble. He's our strength, not something else. He's our strength. We can look to him always and lean on him in all circumstances in our life, no matter how afraid we are. Being afraid, fearing something, that's worry. God says don't do it. And Jesus said not to do it too. In Matthew chapter 6, this is the Sermon on the Mount, verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Again, showing the care that God has for us. And this is precious. Jesus says he'll never leave us alone. John chapter 14, verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." You know, I skipped over that for years, that word comforter. Why did the Lord call the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the comforter? Because he's with you. He's here. He's always with you. He'll never leave you alone. "That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So many troubles, so much to worry about. There's family to worry about, spouses, children, grandchildren, brothers and sisters, health to worry about, business to worry about, churches to worry about, the country to worry about, the whole world to worry about, plenty to worry about, never ends. If you watch the news, you're just asking for more worry and distress and fear. Do you know there's something called headline stress disorder? From watching too much news? Has real symptoms too, like anxiety, fatigue, sleep loss. And those things, worry and anxiety and fatigue, they can lead into more serious things like depression, anxiety disorders, addiction, suicide. Some of those who don't suffer from those things just end up in this life of ongoing despair, out of loneliness, with no hope. Theologian Francis Schaeffer used this expression called the line of despair, and somebody wrote this. He said, "When we believe in God and truth, we have strength for today and hope for tomorrow. When we don't, we sink beneath that line of despair and have no real purpose except that which we manufacture for ourselves. Sooner or later, it doesn't satisfy. And as we age, we have nothing to look forward to except oblivion, and that leaves us in despair." Heard a young woman on the radio one time being interviewed after she'd suffered some kind of accident or tragedy, and she said that she was using her faith in God and in Jesus Christ to get her through this tragedy. Then she said something that really resonated with me. She said, "You know, I don't see how people get through the day, through anything, without faith in God and Jesus Christ. I just couldn't do it. She was expressing something I feel all the time. If it weren't for God being my refuge, my strength to flee back to, I honestly don't know what I would do. Our scripture says that God is our refuge, but let's make it personal, because I think it is personal. He's my refuge. He's your refuge. You can flee back to him anytime you want to, and so can I. He's always there. He's a very present help in times of trouble. Now, you don't even have to make an appointment. God never puts you off. You don't call him and get voicemail. You know, he doesn't look at your number and click the decline button. No, he's always there. He's always there for you. I see some of you people have been declining my phone calls. He's a very present help. Right now you can go to him. Right there as you sit in those pews. You can go to him right now. That's so comforting. So what should you do when you're lonely and depressed and anxious and you're worrying? You should pray. You should pray. God's present. He's there hearing you, listening to you. You know, it's almost impossible to imagine that the God of the universe, that the God who created all of this, that the God who raised our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead, he hears your prayers and my prayers. I had a great season of prayer when I was younger. My children were little. I was in my 30s, and I had this steady commute to Atlanta on I-20, and I had made a decision that I would set a time on the road that I would turn my radio off and I would pray all the rest of the way to work. And I did that for probably about 3 years. And it was one of the most blessed times in my life, for my family, for my business, for church. I mean, it was... I know we throw this word miracle around, or I do too much maybe, but it just felt like a miracle to me, the blessings that God was giving me during that time. Prayer works. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus. That sounds like a promise to me.
Yes, it does.
I love that. I love the promises of God. The peace that passes all understanding. I've prayed that prayer so many times. Lord, give me the peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand that peace I feel. I just know I feel it when the Lord sends it. You know, sometimes when I'm troubled or worried and I go to the Lord in prayer, the first thing I have to do is ask for forgiveness. I feel guilty. I try to pray regularly, but not as often as I should. So here I am in trouble again, asking for the Lord to help me. But first I need to tell him I'm sorry that I only come to him with this frequency when I need something. It's like I used to tease my children when they were in college. I never hear from you unless you need something. I'd see one of them calling on the caller ID, and I would just start answering the phone, how much? You know. But God is merciful to us. He's still there even when we've drifted far away from him. You've heard the story about the old married couple riding in their pickup truck. Had one of those old bench seats like the old pickups used to have. And the wife said to her husband, you know, honey, I remember the good old romantic days when we used to sit right next to each other riding in this old truck. Why don't we do that anymore? And he said, well, honey, I haven't moved. If you're not feeling close to God, it's not because he moved. But it's never too late to move back over. Flee back to God, your refuge, my refuge, our refuge. Life is full of trouble, but God is full of mercy. And God's mercy and care for you trumps all of the troubles of this world. Fear not, I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my right hand. Our Father in heaven knows we're going to go through times of trouble and great distress. He knows we're going to be worried and lonely and depressed. So he gives us these stories of some great men in the Bible to help us to relate. And one of those was Elijah. Great prophet Elijah was terribly depressed and without hope at one time. He had just experienced one of the great miracles of the Bible. Elijah had just challenged 450 priests of Baal to a little sacrifice contest. And of course, the true God of heaven and earth, our Lord, showed he's the true God of the universe by sending fire from heaven and consuming the sacrifice Elijah had offered. Priest of Baal failed miserably. Instead of rejoicing in his heart and glorifying for God for months on end, what did he do? He went away depressed and he complained to God that he was all alone. Lord, there's nobody left but me to worship you. Elijah whining to God, I'm the only one left. There's nobody else who's faithful. I'm the last one. He's sad. He's lonely. He's depressed. He said, Lord, I'm no better than my fathers. I tried to turn things around for you, but I failed. Take my life, Lord. I just want to die. This is a man who just seen one of the most amazing miracles that God had done, and he was discouraged. Then God comes to Elijah in a small, still voice and tells him, it's not hopeless, Elijah. I have 7,000 people in Israel who have not bowed to and worshipped Baal. Now get up. I've got work for you to do. So Elijah got to work. And there's another point of wisdom here, God's wisdom. When you're scared or lonely or depressed, get to work. It'll take your mind off your worries. Sounds like that's what Brother Todd did. He got to work. But let's see what James says in the New Testament about Elijah. James 5:17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That just didn't seem right to me, but he's saying Elijah's a man just like us. He worried. He got depressed. He questioned, why, Lord? And this is something that we see all over again, again and again in the Bible, from godly men called by God. Moses, David, even Jesus. Why, Lord? Why do you allow this to happen? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's okay to cry out to God for help and for understanding, just like these men did. But ultimately, it is God and God alone who delivers us, who saves us. As Peter once said in John chapter 6, verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who we can go to. There is no one else to go to. God is faithful and merciful. He's our refuge. When we pray for help, he's present. He cares about us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that right hand of righteousness, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I heard a preacher say one time, he was talking about creation and evolution and everything, and he said, you know, the big question that we have to answer is not is there a God, but does he care? And we know he does. Yeah. Jesus Christ shows he cares. Yeah. There'll be trouble here, there's no doubt about it, but if we humble ourselves in prayer before God, turn over all our worries and cares to him, it says he cares for us. He cares for us. That's not just a feeling that we might say, I care about you. No, he cares about us and he shows it. Put your burden on the Lord and he'll give you strength and sustain you. The Lord wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him and depend on him. There was a man in prison one time, done some terrible things, and all of his friends and family had left him. Nobody visited him in prison anymore. He'd grown up in the church as a child, but he drifted away from God and gotten himself into some big trouble. But somehow that lost faith came back to him in prison. God sustained him. God was there with him in prison. He's a present help. God's in prison too. Man said, you know, when I was growing up, they used to tell me in church that Jesus is all you need. And I believed him. I believed it. I thought I did. But I didn't really believe Jesus is all I needed until Jesus was all I had. Amen. You know, in a way, I think the story of Job is the story of every man. I believe it's a true story about a real man, but I also think it has some allegorical elements. The story of every one of us. We'll all go through hard times in our lives. Hopefully not as hard as Job. But we all go through hard times, times when we worry, times when we're depressed, and even in terrible despair. But we must remember that we don't mourn as those without hope. We have the ultimate hope in Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the resurrection. Even Job said this in the midst of his misery, thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born. Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Gosh, that's encouraging. In my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Remember, this is the Old Testament, long before Jesus was born. Job says that he'll see his Redeemer. That's Jesus Christ. He'll see his Redeemer in the flesh. He's not going to be a floaty little ghost or spirit. He's going to see him in the flesh, in his new resurrected body. That's our hope. What hope? When even in his worst despair, he knew that his Redeemer lived. That's our great hope, and that he would see him someday. That's the cure for worry and sadness and depression and loneliness and despair. That hope in the resurrection, that's the cure. God gives us hope and faith, the fruit of the Spirit, so we can flee back to him. We look to God as our refuge based on that hope and faith. Hope, that real expectation that Job, in the midst of all of his suffering, that hope he had of the resurrection, that earnest expectation, and a new heavens and a new earth where there will be no sickness, no pain, no worries, no sadness, no death. Hope. And faith, as we remember to flee back to God, our refuge, our mighty fortress, as Martin Luther wrote. That may be one of the lessons of Job. After we live through this life, suffer so many things, God gives us everlasting life. Remember, God gave Job a new life, had a bunch more children, restored all of his wealth and everything, much more than what he had before. That's what we can look forward to. Not because we earned it, but because Jesus earned it. He earned it. He paid for it. We had nothing to pay. Our Lord and Savior suffered the cross, despising the shame, so that our lives, full of worry and sin and despair and everything else, would not be the end. There'll be no end. Jesus has conquered death. He's won the victory over death. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That hope and faith someday will end. We won't need it anymore. Hope will be fulfilled. We won't be hoping for heaven anymore. It'll be here. Faith will end. We won't need faith anymore because we'll see as we're seen. We will see him in the flesh. We'll see our Redeemer in the flesh in our new resurrected bodies. Only love will remain. Love will never end. There's a song called Eye of the Storm. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. May the Lord comfort and bless you.
Amen.
These words.